Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this has been a fabulous, fabulous hour. You might have been hear those rebel yells out there with the Southern Cultural Center. We have Old League of the Southers in here. We have one fellow in here right now that's been in the movement. Well, he hasn't been in the movement as long as I have been in it because he's not as old as I am. but it's funny, we got these young guys in, and they look like babies, man. But I'm so impressed with what they're doing. I was so glad and fortunate to interview them. They would still be here, but guess what? They're getting ready to go. I don't know. We have a fellow here now I've been following for years, Mr. Why don't you tell them who you are?
My name is Brad Griffin. I ride as Hunter Wallace on Occidental Descent.
And how long have you been doing that, Brad?
That blog, since 2009, I want to say. So that's almost 17 years or something. The years just pile up. I mean,
that seems impossible. It seems impossible that 9 years ago we were in Charlottesville. And I keep working Charlottesville in because I know I'm sure you feel like I do. It's almost like Holy Week to me. I bonded with people I've never even seen before. I won't dwell on Charlottesville too much. I've got to ask Brad some questions. But I rode for the first time I'd ever seen him. I saw Simon Rhodes from South Africa. Matt Goodwin, that's how I met Matt Goodwin. He was one of the original co-hosts of Blood River Radio. Gene Andrews, he was on almost every... Oh, here comes one of the man's himself. He was on almost every week. He's on with Confederate History. And I bonded with those guys. Of course, Rich Hamlin. And Charlottesville will always be super special. That Brad was up there at Charlottesville, and as was another man, a giant of a man, in every way you can be a giant, who just walked in. We're going to have him on in a minute. Like I say, Brad was there. I'm really emotional about this tonight. I'm really psyched up. But Brad, I was just talking to James Edwards a minute ago. He said that your speech that you gave about Trump, with my ears being shot, I kind of misunderstood. I thought you were going to critique Trump's speech, but it's the speech you gave. So tell us about James said I would really love it.
Oh, it was really an assessment of, you know, how it all started. We remembered it starting in 2015. How it's, you know, we're really on the cusp of the end, how it's going to end. And when you've actually, like, lived, you know, through 90% of something, you can, like, start making some judgments about it. And it seems like every 2 years, my vision kind of, like, my understanding of it, like, takes a turn. So, I gave a really... I think it was the most negative speech I've ever written, and I've given some plenty of negative ones, but this one takes the cake.
Well, you're not happy-go-lucky like I am, because I seldom ever say anything bad about anybody.
Yeah,
I'm just a nice. I think
he deserves it, though.
yeah, that's a crock. But yeah, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a clairvoyant or a prophet. But, I mean, hell, I'm old. I've seen these politicians for years and years and years. In my lifetime, I've never seen one that did not disappoint. I've never seen one that would take our side. Right. I guess the closest, talking about Trump, I guess the closest he ever came to being like one of us was going back to Charlottesville when, you know, he said something about, matter of fact, they were coming out, they were giving him hell, Trump giving us hell, and Trump made the fatal mistake of saying, well, there were good people and bad people on both sides of Charlottesville. Well, they roasted him for that. I think that's probably
still roast. They still argue about it down to this day. That, you know, about the very very fine people on both sides coming. It's still controversial.
You know, and I keep going back to Charlottesville, but for rightfully so. But they're still hunting down. I heard, you know what, and Michael Tubbs was there. I heard that they're still hunting down people who went to the god-awful Tiki Torch Parade. And that's one thing I hate. I told Dr. Hill, God, I wish I'd known about that. I would have given anything to be,
you know, every year that comes by, this is the ninth year, you gain more and more perspective, right? And you look back on Charlottesville and you look at the totality of the Trump era, and Charlottesville was really the exit ramp. It was the chance that was offered to strike off in a, I mean, that it's kind of ill-conceived, you know, uniting the right and stuff, because famously it's kind of like idealistic. But if it had worked, and had we gone off in a more radical direction at that point, history would have played out differently. But that famously did not happen. And it's been what Trump showed for 9 years. 9 years. And what do we have? What has happened after, you know, those nine? It's really less about Charlottesville than the 9 years since. And what happened, you know, when he was the star of the show for 9 years. But what do you think about that?
I'd like to ask you this. And like, I was talking to Dr. Hill and James earlier, and they were talking about the good points and the bad points of President Trump. And this is kind of a weird way to answer a question, but I pointed the fact out to them that really, if I wasn't sour enough on this country's government already, they're getting ready to merge the idea of the Israeli army into the United States military.
Oh yeah, amongst other things. That,
I mean, how?
There's so much there that you just there's so much in front of you on your plate that you miss it sometimes. But yeah, that's just one thing.
And what could be worse? I mean, we're talking about people, they're Antichrist people. Anybody who denies that Jesus Christ was risen on the third day, according to St. John, said they were the Antichrist. It's in there many times, the Antichrist, Antichrist. It's anybody who denies Jesus, the Son of God. And those are the people, Brad and Mike, that are going to be, they're not going to be, hope I don't get too sidetracked, but actually, in my opinion, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, the Jews, the Israelis, whatever you want to say, the Zionists, have had control of this government for many, many years. They've been controlling the United States military for at least since Korea and beyond, even in Korea, even the Vietnam War. It's even before that. And so now, in my opinion, I'm going to shut the hell up. I'm going to ask you, Brad, and I'll ask Mike. Have they done this all along? Are they just making this official? They're just saying now, is it a slap in the, they're throwing this crap in our face, and we've been doing this all along. Now we're coming out in the open. We're not denying it now. We're actually telling you, we control your United States military.
Let me offer one ray of hope, okay? A ray of hope from my dismal speech. And that the reason they went ahead and did this, the reason they threw everything into Trump, into launching this war, is because they saw for the first time the over tidal wave of awakening and criticism against them. And they figured that this was their last chance before the country completely turned against them and these politicians just couldn't get elected anymore on, you know, being pro-Israel. And that's why they went with it, because they saw the writing on the wall. So, as bleak as things are now, I believe that really played a huge role in, like, while this happened in the first place. So, while the year went away, it did.
Yeah, I think Michael Tubbs here, by the way. I think it appears that the Jews are getting ready to abandon the United States as their sugar daddy. They think that perhaps that this pot's running dry. And I see them moving more towards India.
That's a great point.
India, pagan nation, nuclear armed, opposing Pakistan. India would probably be a great country for them to welch off of, like they've done for the Western countries.
I'm all for it. Let's let the parasite move on to the next host.
Yeah, I'm anxious for us to recover from the being the host for that parasite. And it appears here lately that we're gaining our strength and throwing the shackles off. It's a wonderful sight to behold.
I totally agree.
You know, you mentioned, I was chipping in, you mentioned India. I used the VA hospital, as is Don Black, who will get him on night, hopefully. And I'm telling you guys, Mike and Brad, the VA hospital in Memphis is just one of many, I'm sure, has been completely taken over. The cardiology department, straight up Indian. You see them with the damn turbans, the Sikhs. I went into the emergency room, and I guess it'd be 2 weeks ago, yesterday. Oh, we got to go to a quick break. Anyway, went into the emergency room, and we had two black doctors, couldn't speak English. The first, I've said, up to hell with you. And we'll talk about that more when we come back. But dear God, God bless you, Blood Group Radio people. Thank you for hanging on. We're going to a quick break. Get about 90 seconds, get your tea, use the bathroom, whatever. Be back in about 90 seconds.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. We're running as many people in and out of here as we possibly can. A lot of there's several Charlottesville veterans here. We got two of them in here with me. Matter of fact, I was in Charlottesville. Michael Tubbs is in Charlottesville. Quickly, I would like to make a comment before I hand the mic back to Michael Tubbs. I tell people in Charlottesville, I was standing shoulder to shoulder, my right shoulder against Michael Tubbs' left shoulder, but actually it was my right shoulder against his hip. He is a big dude. I'm telling you what, I would not, you could melt me and pour me on Michael Tubbs. He is a big dude. He's a badass.
Captured the flag, I remember.
Telling you, buddy.
I still have the photo of it.
I'm going to tell you what, he kicked some ass in Charlottesville. I'll never remember, he said he got to put some hands on some communists up there. Anyway, putting hands on, he did. I'll tell you one more thing. I'm going to address one more item they brought up. The damn Indians. The Indians, people, you've heard me bitch about this. In the VA hospital at home, the Indians have completely taken over. Cardiology, about two weeks ago yesterday, I was in the emergency room at the VA, and the first two doctors I saw, Mike and Brad, were black. And they weren't like we don't have enough niggers here in Memphis, in the United States, that we got to import them from Africa. I mean, my God, we had these Africans coming, hardcore African accent.
It's not even just the H-1Bs. It's all these multiple classes of visas, which just bring gargantuan numbers of them in every year.
They're complete, and not just, like I mentioned this 100 times, but it's 100 times not enough. They're even taking over Baptist Memorial Hospital. I was saying that before we went to the break. They have completely taken over Baptist Memorial Hospital. It's just that way. And I'd like to say one more thing before I hand the microphone back about Michael Tubbs. I told people, Dr. Hill, I told him about that earlier. My right shoulder was his right hip because he's so big. I got to tell this. There was some kind of a board. I'm sure you remember it, Mike.
A table.
Mm-hmm. And y'all were using that board to keep the damn Jews and communists and Antifa off of us. Well, somehow, in a way, y'all lost control of that damn board. And it went down my leg all the way and went down my shin. And you're talking about some major pain. And it landed on my foot. And I don't know if you remember or not, but I don't know how you did it and how I did it because I'm not that big. But somehow, all the young guys were fighting on that damn table. And it was on my feet. And I was saying, my feet, my God, you're on my feet. Well, Michael Tubbs helped get that damn thing off my feet. And I don't know what kept it from breaking, but I always love Michael Tubbs for that. Anyway, I'm handing the mic back to Michael Tubbs, and we're going to bring the big kahuna himself in here in just a minute, Dr. Michael Hill. Anything. So here you go, Mike. Here you go, Mike.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that table was some piece of equipment that was brought by Antifa to the rally, and it had no gods, no kings written on it. And they were using that as a shield to hide behind and throw stuff at us. And we just couldn't tolerate that anymore. So we took control of that table. And the last one of them that had control of it was some fairly large black guy with a backpack on. And neither me or this black guy really wanted to throw fists in front of all these cameras. So we were just kind of pushing on each other until I finally pushed him off the table and was able to lift it up. And I wanted to pass that table back over the heads of the Lions of Charlottesville who were guarding the bloody stairs to Lee Park and just get rid of that table. I can't remember what happened to it now, but there was a battle over that table and a lot of people got hurt, and we saved a bunch of our people with it. But I want to thank you for introducing me over the subject of Charlottesville, and you were right. I waited my entire life to fight communists. I joined the military with the express purpose of fighting communists. I joined the special forces whose unit motto was De Oppresso Liber, free the oppressed. And I thought for sure that eventually, you know, I would be tasked with a unit to free the oppressed of Europe from communist control during the Cold War. And we never fought communists worth a damn. And it wasn't until the streets of Charlottesville that I actually got to put my hands on some communists. And I gotta tell you, that was one of the proudest days of my life. I finally fulfilled my mission, my lifelong mission of fighting communism, and I'm proud of it. I regret nothing from that day. And I was glad to stand beside great men like Brad Griffin here and others, and we're all proud of what we did.
One amazing thing, and last thing I'll say is, you know, that was the first term. But in the second term, it's been quiet as a mouse. There's been nothing at all like Charlottesville. There's been nothing at all like all the chaos of 2017 in that first year of Trump's term. It's just been crickets.
You know,
probably because we're all too old for it.
I'll ask one quick question, and after asking to Michael Tubbs, and you know, quite quickly, we'll get Dr. Hill. He responds to the same question. Anything Dr. Hill wants to do, he gets to do. We all love him. But, you know, so many people have criticized, oh, you went to Charlottesville, you stirred the shit up and everything. I'm an old guy, and I think, of all my whole life, guys, that's one of the greatest days of my life. I think we might have not have accomplished what we wanted, but yeah. By God Almighty, we did fight communists. And
yeah,
damn communists. And you know what? And I'm living by God for the day we can put hands, and more than hands, on a damn communist and free the country of these sons of bitches. And hope that's not too wild for you guys. But anyway,
now
we're getting ready to introduce the man himself, Dr. Michael Hill, the man who let me. Dr. Michael Hill lays his hands on communists too. And I'm going to say one more thing, Dr. about Dr. Hill. I wish he did the prayer. Maybe we can get him to do the outgoing prayer. But Dr. Hill, we didn't make one move into the city of Charlottesville, the hell of cauldron of evil, until this man said the prayer. That's for God's sake. That's for truth. Anyway, people, I'm taking this microphone back over to another giant. I think Michael Tubbs is second in command, I think, in the league. Anyway, I'm shutting up. Dr. Hill, since this is Charlottesville week, Charlottesville month, tell us a little bit about Charlottesville.
Well, I sort of echo what Mike Tubbs just said. It was one of the proudest days of my life. I have great fond memories of it, although obviously we've had to pay a price for it. And I wouldn't go back and do anything differently. I'd go just the same because it was an honorable thing to do. We were there to stand up for our inheritance as Southerners. And we did that, and, you know, fighting commies in the streets, that was just sort of a little added bonus for us. But I'm really glad that things turned out the way they did. Obviously, God's plan unfolds the way he wants it to, and we don't have a lot of say over that. But I have no regrets about it. I was glad to be there, and fighting communists in the streets of a southern city, I mean, that's as close to home as you could get, you know, and that's an honorable thing. And not very many people can say that they've got to do that. And that's the thing that really makes me proud is the way our people handled themselves that day. We had a good plan to go in. We had a good plan to get out, even though the plan to get out was kind of interrupted. But Mike Tubbs led a large contingent of our people out back up East Market Street the way we came in, and some of the rest of us went to the west to McIntyre Park, and then we made our way back eventually. But the thing that makes me proudest that is we had vehicles driving around in the area there to make sure that we picked all our people up, and we waited in that parking garage on East Market Street until we accounted for every single person that went in, and we did not leave until all those people were accounted for. You know, what happened to one of the young men there, James Fields, had he been with us, I don't think that would have happened to him. We would have made sure that he got back to where he should have been and got out of there safely, and he wouldn't have been having to drive around in an unfamiliar place by himself. We practiced going in. You remember, Mike, what we did on the day before. We practiced going in and out of that area time after time after time again with Ike Baker, our chief of operations. He had a wonderful plan for us to get in and get out, and we had several different routes by which we could go in case one got blocked, and we practiced all those. Ike was just, you know, no, we're not ready yet. We got to keep going. Got to do this again. We didn't do it right. And it turned out that was kind of a lifesaver for us. And God bless Mary Barlow. She and Ike drove around, and, you know, I think Mary had some of her kids in the vehicle with her, driving around Antifa all over the place, you know. And she was just as courageous as she could be, picking people up and ferrying them back to the parking garage. And we got everybody back. We left, and we left all together. So it was a great day. It was a great day.
I remember that day all too well. And you're right. We practiced and practiced and practiced. And I allude back to the point that you, Dr. Hill, started us with a prayer before we went, yeah. went foot. And you can call me whatever you want to call me, but I think, in my opinion, I believe if we had not gone in as Christians, if we had not appealed to our God and our Savior and not invoked the name of Jesus Christ, it probably would have been a lot worse than it was. And even though we had young men, one of them 18 years old, Daniel Borden, locked up in prison, 18 years old. I just talked to a guy, Jacob Goodwin, locked up in prison. I think it was Jacob, 20, 21 years old. It would have been more than that.
Yeah,
it would have been worse than that. And Michael Tubbs, I remember he worked so hard. He was so exhausted. I went to McIntyre Park like you did, Dr. Hill, and I called her an old lady. Hell, I was old then myself, but it's pretty good. We're going to a break. But anyway, we got kind of separated, went to the wrong garage with the enemy, and got the hell out of there. I echo with what you said, Dr. Hill, and Michael Tubbs, that's the proudest damn day of my life. Anyway, folks, we're going to the bottom of the hour break in about 4 minutes. You got time to go take a leak, get some tea, coffee, whatever. Be back in 4 minutes, so be back, folks.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. Luigi Mangione pleads guilty to federal charges.
Luigi Mangione has pleaded guilty to federal stalking charges in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. In the courtroom behind me, Mangione spoke about how he came to New York City, targeted Thompson, and then ultimately shot and killed him outside a Midtown Manhattan hotel. Mangione said that after years of back pain, navigating the complicated healthcare system in the United States, he decided to take action.
Michael Sysak reporting. What many see as an unfavorable business climate is driving many large corporations out of Delaware. DoorDash is the latest to make its exit.
The delivery giant cited growing legal uncertainty and costly shareholder lawsuits. More than 60 public companies worth over $3 trillion have reportedly exited Delaware in the past 2 years, with firms like Tesla, Coinbase, and several major energy companies heading to Texas and Nevada. Critics say Delaware's courts have become less predictable, while business-friendly states are offering greater certainty and stronger protections for companies and shareholders. Ken Lorman reporting.
There appears to be a bipartisan support on Capitol Hill to get rid of daylight saving time. Correspondent Laura Winters reports.
President Trump supports keeping the time across the country the same all year long. On his Truth Social page, the president writes, "People are sick and tired of having to change their clocks twice a year. It is foolish, inconvenient, and in some cases, very costly."
New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani is backing a delivery law critics say could raise Amazon costs and consumer prices. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey y'all, I'm Willie Robertson.
And I'm Corey Robertson.
We partnered with Echo. It's a new platform, not just streaming.
Movies and series that are safe for your family.
Echo!
I love a podcast.
Plus Echo Daily Devotionals.
Echo. Hey Willie, what is Echo?
Echo is my pet squirrel.
Echo is not just faith friendly, it is faith driven.
Be a part of something better.
Echo.
Echo.
It's where I want to be.
That's EKKL.com.
Subscribe now.
Maybe this is you too. There is enormous frustration right now with healthcare costs. It's amazing. Healthcare costs for families in the last 20 years have almost tripled, and it just keeps getting worse. All this to say, this is why MediShare is so in demand right now. People are looking for alternatives, and MediShare is proven. And yeah, you could save thousands of dollars a year and actually like it more. Here's the number. They're easy to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom. And they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I've told you again, I've already said it, but I'm such an emotional SOB. I've just been strung so high. Charlottesville week, as long as I die, Charlottesville month will always be sacred to me. And I've got two fellows out here. I've already introduced them, but you can't introduce them too much. Dr. Michael Hill and the warrior Michael Tubbs. And so Dr. Hill is going to continue on. I mentioned the prayer that we always go to in prayer. So, but I've said enough. I'm going to Dr. Hill wants to talk about the prayer. So go ahead, Dr. Hill.
I'll never forget that. We were up right about sunrise and went out in the parking lot where all our vehicles were there, getting ready to go into the place we were going to meet everybody there. And we got everybody got down on their knees and we prayed. I've still got that prayer, the written copy of that prayer in the league office. And I wrote it the night before. And as I said in the break here, I've never gone into battle without praying before because, I mean, obviously you go in and you put your life on the line. And you want God's protection, and you want God's blessing for a victory. And, you know, I just couldn't envision us doing anything other than that. And everybody were very sincere because they knew what we were going into. And it was a battle prayer. It was a prayer for men going into battle. And it was just something we Southerners do. I mean, this is what our ancestors have done, and it's what we've done. But we were also in the break, Mike Tubbs was reminiscing about what it felt like in that parking garage after we got downtown and were getting ready to marshal. We marshaled our troops and all, as it were, and got ready to march out. But I'm going to let Mike tell what that was like because it was amazing, too.
Well, I was just going to say we were forming up ranks in the parking garage, and I don't know how many people we had in there. What would you estimate?
About 400
people, but the line just snaked backwards and around the corner. It was just looked massive, and we had our flags and our signs. We had our shield bearers up front, and the guys with the shields, they started beating on their shields, and everybody started stamping their feet in unison, and the entire parking garage began to shake to the point that it was a little bit scary. I was wondering about the construction details of this parking garage, whether it would hold up or not, but that was a bit of an exaggeration. But it was just the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and the chills went up my arms, and I felt like I was feeling what 1,000 generations of my warrior ancestors had felt when they were standing behind a shield wall ready to move forward. It was just awe-inspiring to hear the chants and the stomps and to feel all of that. It was a genetic memory coming to the forefront once again. And it was an experience I just cannot do justice to with words.
Yeah, you would have had to have been there. And we parked on the very top level of the parking garage to keep our vehicles as far away from Antifa as possible, of course. And that means we had to snake our way down in that line down several levels of the parking garage, and Mike and I were at the head of the column, and we came out onto East Market Street and hung a left there. It was downhill grade, and we could see down there what was waiting for us. And Mike looked over to me and said, I've been waiting for this day. I'll never forget that. So it was amazing. You would just have to have been there. I mean, words, 9 years later, just can't describe it. You know, you just had to be there. But it was, to say the least, an exhilarating experience. And I was asked by the Jew lawyers that were, you know, working the case against us when we got sued. Said, well, you could have always turned the column around. You didn't have to go through and cause violence. So, well, so we could see the park, and we were going into the park. We weren't going anywhere else. We were going through to the park. So And that's true. We wouldn't have dared to not do what we did, which is to go through Antifa and Black Lives Matter and just kick the shit out of them, really. So it was a wonderful day. And we got to the park, and I had to go and find who Jason Kessler and whoever it was, because I was set to speak. So I told Mike Tubbs, I said, steps, man the steps and don't let anybody through. I came back, and man, I was throwing bodies back into the crowd. I said, well, when I turned it over to Mike Tubbs and told him that, I knew we were going to get results. So they did a great job on those steps, and it got pretty hairy there for a while. So, but Mike did a great job that day.
You know, during the whole planning stages of this rally in Charlottesville, there was no violence that was planned by us. Our goal was to get to Charlottesville and set up a podium and speakers, and we had several speakers lined up to discuss to the crowd the preservation of our southern monuments. But we were hearing in the lead-up to that, a lot of leftists were planning on doing violence against us. And you know, we're southern men. You know, our ancestors were willing to walk shoulder to shoulder in the living walls of fire and steel, and that blood still flows through us.
Absolutely.
So that wasn't going to slow us down any. But the more we got closer to Charlottesville, and as we were walking up that street, we were getting phone messages from our folks who were setting up as spotters already in the park and along the route, telling us, hey, man, we got people with clubs and other weapons, and they're toting around containers filled with things to throw at us. And before we even got to the bloody stairs of the park, we started having objects thrown at us, and until we met that line of Antifa. And we came to a halt there, facing that line, and we realized we had to get in that park one way or another. So our shield wall just started moving forward towards that line of communists, and they started throwing things at us and shouting, and our shield wall went forward. And to this very day, 9 years later, I remember the exact sound of that shield wall clashing with those communists. And I got to tell you, we had some big boys on the front line, and those communists were swept before us like dry leaves in a hurricane. They just split up and went in 10 different directions like the Bible tells us they would.
That's yeah, right.
Our enemies just fled before us. It was absolutely amazing. Then we reformed up and were able to march onto those stairs into the park like we owned that place.
Well, absolutely. They didn't have a chance. I can remember we stopped. I wanted to stop the column for one reason, and that is to give them a chance to get out of the way, to let us through. And when I saw that they weren't going to, we just said, hey, let's get this shield wall going here and get on through. And we did that. And it was pretty chaotic at first, but we were able to reform fairly quickly when we had the initial punch that got through and got on to the stairs. And thank God that y'all were on those stairs, because we had some stragglers coming up there in twos and threes and all that would have just got the crap beat out of them had y'all not gone out there and rescued them from the stairs. So, you know, one of the things that was asked of me in my deposition in this lawsuit is why we had shields. I said, well, hell, we'd seen what had happened at some of these things previously, and we thought we needed some protection. I mean, they're throwing all kind of crap at us, and it's a good thing we had those shields, because they saved some lives probably. And also, they were good for breaking through the line too. Yeah. So, but it was on once we gave them about 60 seconds to move, and they didn't move, and we just said, "Hey, we're going forward," and we did, and the rest is history, as they say. So, but a very proud day, and I'll always think when August comes along, it's time to remember.
You had mentioned going back out into the street to rescue some of our stragglers. There were other groups that were coming in after us, you know, carrying flags and uniform and such. And we were up on top of the stairs, you know, trying to protect our leadership, our women, our speakers, you know, preventing Antifa from coming in and just raising hell inside the park against them. And we're standing there watching our people, our allies, being pelted and beaten and bullied out there in the street. And you know, it was important to hold those stairs, but finally I just had enough of it. I didn't want to see any of our people killed because it was that brutal and that violent out there on the street. And I just said, follow me. And I headed in that direction, and the whole crowd behind me started moving into the street. And we rescued these guys that were coming in, and we got reformed up on the stairs, and they were bleeding.
Oh, yeah.
And they were hollering for a medic. We had medics back there in the park. I mean, I could see blood streaming from their faces from beaten up by Antifa.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael Tuff. Thank you, Dr. Hill. Dear Blood River Radio family, we've got to go to a quick break. We've got about 90 seconds, 2 minutes is the max. Get you some water or whatever, but don't be gone more than about 90 seconds or you'll be like getting back. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. We're running as many people in and out of here as we can, and we've got some really stars here. We have young and old. We've got some young guys in here. I've been super, super impressed with. I know Dr. Hill has really been working on it. He's doing a good job raising these young guys. A couple of them have been exceedingly smart. Well, listen, we've been talking about Charlottesville, but Dr. Hill was just telling me there's a precursor to Charlottesville. Actually, well, matter of fact, I'm not going to tell you. Dr. Hill was there. Hell, I wasn't in this place he's talking about. So, Dr. Hill, tell them about the precursor.
Yeah, we went down to New Orleans in early May of 2017, that's a few months before Charlottesville in August of that year. And they were, of course, trying to going to remove the Lee statue at Lee Circle. And we went down there on a Sunday, and we knew we couldn't stop them from taking it down. But this was simply us going down there to do our duty in showing them that there was opposition to doing that. And there were roughly 75 of us. And our next guest here, Lloyd Caperton, Cape, was one of the league warriors who was there on that day. We had like 75 league people, and we were all in our uniforms, all had flags, and, you know, very well organized. And we faced about 1,000 Antifa and Black Lives Matter people who had been liquored up down in the French Quarter for several hours, and they came marching down the street, and there were only these little, like, police bicycle barricades between us and them, and there weren't very many cops there either, and that could have been a really dangerous situation. But they took one look at us and our organization, and they knew that we were an organized group, and they didn't want any part of it. So I'm going to turn this over to Lloyd Caperton and let him talk a little bit about that. But that was really the precursor to Charlottesville and really got us some wonderful experience in doing this kind of thing. So, Cape, you can take it over here.
Well, I remember that day, you know, the Antifa was supposed to have come up there around Lee's Circle, I think, around about 12 o'clock that day. And anyway, we was wondering if they was even going to come at all. They might have been just bluffing us. But around about 2:30 or 3 o'clock, they showed up. And I don't know how many of them there were. They were looked like thousands. And they were marching up the street. It was a pretty wide street, and they covered from one side to the other. And these people, if you've ever seen that movie, The Walking Dead, that's what these people looked like. They were some of the nastiest, dirtiest, scummiest looking people you've ever seen on earth. I mean, that's who was walking up to confront us. And I don't know, there was probably 75 people in the League of the South that were there, probably another 50 or 100 that was in the SCV and different groups. And there was some, when they seen this horde of people come walking up, they decided that one of them said, well, I didn't come here for this, you know, and they left and went home. You know, some of the SCV people done that. There's probably about 40 of them there. All but about 6 or 7 of them decided they had something else they needed to do, and they left and went home. Well, anyway, they encircled us. We was up there surrounding the Lee statue there, and we was going to keep. They was going to vandalize it before they moved the statue. They was going to come up there and vandalize it before it was moved. And we encircled that statue there, and we held them off. We kept them from doing it. We wasn't allowed to carry any firearms there, but we had our flagpoles with the points and all on them. And I picked out one of the biggest men there, you know, I looked at, and I said, well, hell, if it breaks down, I always heard you take the biggest one out first, and that was one I was going to go after if it all broke down, but it never did. Now, what they was doing, they was surrounding us, and I seen some fellows with T-shirts on. And the T-shirt, let me tell you what was on the T-shirt now. The T-shirt had a picture of Christ on the cross, except Christ's head had been replaced with a dog's head. And there was people walking around with those T-shirts on that were taunting us, you know. And you had these people, I know they were homosexuals, they were walking around there playing with one another's privates, you know, saying, you don't like this, do you? You don't like this, do you? What are you going to do about it? Then you had some black guys walking around with white women, you know. They say, you don't, they'd be kissing on them. They say, you don't like this, do you? Do you? What are you going to do about it? You don't like this, do you? And had another one come walking up there and said, y'all think this country belongs to you, but it don't belong to you anymore. It belongs to us. You know, that really got us, you know, worked up. And anyway, they surrounded us, and they was taunting us, you know, doing stuff like that for about probably 30 minutes. And then the crowd more or less just dispersed and all. And that's basically the story. But before they dispersed, we were talking to some of the people there. They were telling us we were racist, blah, blah, this and that, this and that. And we were telling them, you know, we were secessionists and why we were secessionists and that kind of thing. And I noticed there was a reporter there. And I don't know where he was from, but he had a microphone right over my head. And he kept saying, if it breaks down, if it's going to start, it's going to start right here. If it breaks down, if it's going to start, it's going to start right here. He had that microphone right over my head while I was talking to him. Like they were expecting, you know, like they was expecting me and them to get into it. And that was going to be the spark, you know, that was going to ignite everything. But it never did. You know, everybody ended up just dispersing. But anyway, I think a lot of that was a set-up deal, you know. I think tried to get Charlottesville started in New Orleans before it ever started in Charlottesville. I mean, that's my opinion of it. And I was glad to be there with the Southern Movement to defend the Robert E. Lee statue. And this is Lloyd A. Caperton. Thank you.
I would like to thank you. I'd like to salute you. And I'd like to shake your hand, sir. God bless you.
Too,
yes, sir. Thank you so much. Mr. Caperton, I would like to thank you so much. I could not tell you how much I respect you. It's just too bad we don't have more men like you. But, you know, in actuality, we never have had that many. Even 200, the people talk about the glorious days 200 years ago. Probably, if the facts were known, it might not have been that many more percentage-wise in those days. But people like you, Dr. Hill, Michael Tubbs, Mary Barlow, and this man right here, Rand Owens, that's what's kept the country together so far. And I know we're losing it, but with that, I think we have another gentleman in here I know all too well, Rand Owens. He was in Charlottesville. I met him here at the Pine Level about 7 years ago, I think it was. He's co-host on Blood River Radio sometimes, and he's getting ready to tell his experience. I think you were in New Orleans too, wasn't you, Rand?
I was.
Rand was it New Orleans? He was at Charlottesville. I think he might have been in Pikeville. But also, since I'm old school and we're ladies first, we have another lady here who has been a veteran. As a matter of fact, I think she were riding around. Was it somebody you were riding around picking up stragglers with? Tell us a little bit about that, about your experience. I know you were in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. And your, a little bit about your biography. We don't get many ladies in here. I'm really proud to have you. How you got started in the so-called movement, your aspirations for the movement, what you think, what you thought about, saw in New Orleans, Charlottesville, whatever, what you see down the road in the future. And go ahead, and I'm going to turn the mic back over to Rand, and you continue on,
Thank you, Eddie. I actually want to touch base a little bit on NOLA, New Orleans. Caperton was talking about seeing this horde of zombie-like people coming up. Well, not a lot of people know that I was actually there, parked just a block where I could see. I was there for medical and to get people out if, you know, something had happened. And I'd been sitting there for some time, even before it started. And as I had looked behind me, and I presumed I was in a safe space, and as I looked behind me, looked in the mirrors and looked behind me, this horde just kind of came back. And, you know, I locked my doors and they were crawling across the top of my vehicle and coming down into the where the statue was at. And so, and that's exactly what it reminded me of, was kind of Night of the Living Dead, walking, you know, the Walking Dead, just kind of that picture of just this grotesque looking crowd of people that seem to only want to do harm. And so that was my experience in New Orleans, and kind of that was my experience I had in Charlottesville. You know, I was there a couple of blocks away from where it had started, just to kind of sit there. It was presumably at a safe spot at a nearby park, and I was facing kind of away, but the only way I could get back around to, you know, where everybody was parked at safely. And just coming ahead of me was this crowd of people that, you know, come to find out they were marching towards the park where our people were. And I'll never forget, you know, we had a pretty large size vehicle.
Dear Ms. Perry, we'll come back to you as soon as this break. We got to take our last break in the second hour. People, we're transitioning over to the second hour. We're going to try to pick up Don Black, give a little segment. Continue to bring people in that were in New Orleans, Charlottesville, etc. When we come back, we'll finish. Ms. Barry Barlow can finish her story, and then Mr. Rand Owens will be after that. So we'll be right back, folks. This is a long break. You got about 4 minutes. Get coffee, tea, whatever. Be right back, folks. 4 minutes.